Well, a question was asked on a lesser-known social media site. If someone from the 1950s suddenly appeared today, what would be the most difficult thing to explain to them about life today? A lot of different answers, but one responder received the approval of over 300,000 with his response. I possess a device in my pocket that is capable of accessing the entirety of information known to man. I use it to look at pictures of cats and get in arguments with strangers. We often underappreciate the power of the things that we possess. And power is dangerous in the hands of those who misuse it. And certainly social media has proven to be destructive in the lives of many. We've seen many celebrities even who have damaged their career because of things they've said publicly. Their own private opinions or thoughts that they blasted out to the whole world then came back to hurt them in a very big way, and some of them in very recent weeks even this has happened to. We've seen many hurt feelings between friends that have been caused because of comments or things that have happened on social media sites, sometimes even our own friends or people that we know closely that this has happened with. And on most comment boards, I don't care if you're looking at ESPN or some news channel that has some website that has a message board, it's really a mixture of hate and sarcasm and belittling of various people making comments. That's what it has amounted to now at this point. Rather than healthy and good discussion, that's typically what it becomes. And so the question is, what should I do with social media? What should I do with this tool, this powerful tool, this influential tool that all of us have at our disposal, that we carry most of us around in our pockets? We pull out a little device and we can access the world around us, and not just our community, but the globe. People all over the world that we can talk to and we interact with. How do we use this? And I want to stop for just a minute this morning and make this statement. This lesson this morning is not for our young people. Now, they're a part of what we're doing here, and they can gain from this, but it's for those of us who are older primarily. And I'll tell you why. For a long time now, even in their high school classes, but primarily in college, they have classes that talk all about this, about the dangers of what they do on social media. I'm not saying they never make mistakes or they don't do things wrong, but they have this discussion. Unfortunately, those of us who are older do not. And because of that, there are a lot of terrible things that happen on social media among those of us who are older, because we're just not very skilled in what we do. And it is a terrible example. Hear me clearly, it is a terrible example to our young people. I originally was going to put some things up on the screen from things I saw on social media from people in this congregation. I thought better of it and decided not to. But I will tell you, you would have been embarrassed. And this is not the place for that. And so my greater wisdom shone through, thankfully. But I want us to understand this is a serious topic. And it's serious because some of the things we see in Scripture, this is not an easy thing for me to preach for multiple reasons. I just don't like these kind of sermons. I'd much rather dig into a text. And so I want to do some of that as we look at this and talk about this topic. But I want us to think carefully about the sort of things that we are doing on social media, on the internet. And maybe even on the other side, the better thing to think about, how should I use it? What should I do with this? I did something similar to this years ago now with some young preachers when I did a young preacher's workshop in Memphis. And I spoke on this, and I did the very thing that I thought about doing here and thought better of. I wasn't even friends with most of these guys on Facebook or on social media, but amazingly, I was able to access all kinds of things on their social media accounts. And what I did is I got on and I found the craziest pictures, the most embarrassing things I could find on their social media thing, and I put it up on the screen on the title slide. So when I started my presentation, they looked and they saw their faces and all these goofy outfits and various things they were doing, and it made the point. And to them, it's a little bit different point because it affects them maybe in a slightly different way, and they need to be careful with some of the things they're doing. And this does apply to everyone in a sense as well, that nowadays, that's your resume. mean, one of the first things people do when they hear about you or know you, if they haven't seen you face-to-face, they go onto your social media account and they begin trolling and seeing what's there. And that's their impression of who you are. First impressions do matter. They do make a difference, and we'll have some more to say about some of that here in a little bit. But I want us to understand this is very serious. In fact, so serious that your shepherds have asked us to talk about this. And it's not just a problem that is some here at Climewood. It's a problem that's all over the place, the way people use social media. But it is a significant issue, a significant spiritual issue. And while I'm talking about that, it's a difficulty for me. Making comments and interacting with people, engaging just the right way to do that. I am somewhat of a sarcastic person by nature. I just enjoy that sort of thing. But you have to be careful with how you interact with people online because they don't know that. They just see the comment and then they react. And then there can be problems when you're doing things in good nature, but someone doesn't understand that that's what's happening. And so we all need to understand the seriousness of what is involved here and how we interact with people, especially in this platform that is growing, that is really ubiquitous at this point, is affecting almost everyone. And if you are not affected by this, if you are not on the internet, if you're not on social media, then you can be a source of encouragement for everyone else who is, with sanity and reason of how to live our lives both in reality and in the virtual world in a way that is pleasing to God. So what should we do with social media? Let's talk about that for a few minutes. I want to guide you to Colossians, the third chapter, and read part of the text here to launch off of what I want to do here with Scripture. It's so good to be with you this morning. And we have a lot of visitors with us here this morning. Some of our college students are back, and we're so glad to see you, and we love you. We're glad that you're here with us this morning and can worship together with us as we praise and we honor God and we think about the things that he has given to us about how we're to live life, and we are so glad that you've come to do that with us this morning. If you're from the community, we are glad you're here as well. And if you have any questions about what we're doing and why we're doing it, please feel free to ask those questions. You can come to me since I'm the one you're seeing up here, and I can either guide you to our shepherds or you can go find them. However you want to do that, we're more than happy to talk about what we believe and why we're doing what we're doing. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. This is following a section that's talking about if you've been raised with Christ. If you are in Christ, this is what things need to look like. It says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I'm going to isolate a few of these verses as we go forward this morning, and we'll look at some others from other places as well, just to talk about this concept and this idea of what we need to do as people who are saints, who are the chosen ones, who are the holy ones of God, who are to be transformed, be these new people. And the first place I want us to start with this is that we need to remain new people. We need to stay the new self. And this doesn't change just because we take on this virtual persona and we sit behind a computer screen and we sit at a keyboard and suddenly we feel empowered and we can say all kinds of things and nobody will see my face. None of that changes just because that environment is a little bit different. The way we need to use social media is we need to remain this new person, this transformed person that is completely different than what we used to be. This is what this person used to look like. It was a person of malice, of passion, overwhelmed by passion, by immorality and covetousness. anger, slander, obscene talk. Now, I want to focus on the one that we typically don't talk about in that list, and that is slander. We're going to come back to that a few times this morning, because that is a problem in our society, especially in the realm of social media, where we rip things from other places, we don't source them, we have no idea where they came from, we're not even sure if they're original, and yet we blast them out all over the place as if they are, claiming this is what someone said or this was what someone believes, and then we think the end justifies the means. It is one place where for some reason, even those who are Bible believers, who are conservative in nature, feel like it's okay to be unethical. It's not okay. And right here it says, the old man was a man who slandered. A man who was interested in libel, whether it's written or oral, either way, slander or libel. That's what they're interested in. They're interested in their own gain, getting their own point across, making sure everyone understands their opinion, and doing it however it has to be done. The ends justify the means. That's what that person believes anyway. Maybe they didn't say it, but that's what they actually believe. So I'm going to blast that out there for everyone to see. Well, that's slander, or it's libel, one of the two, if it's not what they actually said or wrote. And that's not the way the new man is supposed to live. It's not the way the new man is supposed to act. And so I hope you notice some of the verses that we read this morning as we were going through this text in Colossians 3, this idea of putting on the new self. It's renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. That is the new man. And the new man is to be there whether we are on the computer or whether we are walking around in society seeing people face to face. It does not change. This passage is all about transformation and the change that takes place once we are in Christ and how it's supposed to continue. We're supposed to continue to grow and to develop. And even beyond that, we have the positive side. Notice what it said about the new man. It's a man of compassion, a man of kindness, humility, meekness, patience. A man who bears with other people, forgives other people, puts on love. Now, I have to say that if you were to trace my social media accounts, I may have some problems in that department. I'm worried that a lot of people do. You may look at the things I've said in various places and think, that's not very loving. It's not very compassionate. And so don't think I'm just up here speaking to everyone out here. I realize the seriousness of my own life as well. This is something that is such a big issue in our world. It is there before all of us. And in a moment, we can type comments and we can hit the button in a second. Everything is out there for everyone to see, and we can't take it back. We can try to delete comments, but people have seen them. People can snap photos on their phone. They can use their computer and snap pictures of what they've seen out there. We never know what is out there and what remains out there. But this is what the new man is supposed to look like, a person of compassion, of kindness, humility. I do think I've gotten better about this. I hope that I've matured some over the years and improved in how this works. Typically, it's in the form of I write a comment and then I just delete it and decide I'm not going to put it out there. And sometimes that's somewhat healthy even, just to write out what you're thinking and just never post it. We've done this for a long time, haven't we? Some of you who are older, you've done the write the letter out and then never send it thing, right? We've all done that before. It's just in the online form now. We don't have to let everyone know all the things that we're thinking. It's okay. Sometimes we just need to express our thoughts and do it for ourselves to understand where we are and what we're thinking about something. And we don't necessarily need to send it to everyone. I mean, this magnifies it. You can see the difference here. We're talking about years ago now, you write the letter and you don't send it to that one person. We're talking about now writing something and not blasting it out for the whole world to see. There's some wisdom in that. And I've never regretted one time having not done that. You're saying, oh, I wish I would have posted that for everyone to see. There's plenty of times I've regretted what I have posted. Whether I meant it for harm or not, sometimes it's taken that way, and I wish maybe I wouldn't have said what I said. But this new man in Colossians 3, what he's supposed to look like is someone who is compassionate, someone who is kind. And it's been interesting to me, I know people from all over the country, as many of you do, and I know some people who are very compassionate, who are very kind, if you actually know them. But the way they come across online is not so much compassion. and kindness. And so don't let this different environment transform you back to the old man, to the man of malice, to the man of hate and anger and slander, and the man who wants to get his point across, and it's all about what he thinks and about me, what I want. That's what the online world tends to do to us if we're not careful. Change us back into what we are not supposed to be. And then this statement at the end of the reading in verse 17, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The terminology that we find in Scripture, this idea of giving thanks, it's really all over the place, and it's interesting to me where I find it. But what a great idea, even in the realm of what we're talking about this morning, of social media, just the concept of giving thanks for things. We're going to come back to the idea of our attitude online as we get to the end of the sermon this morning. But just keep that in mind, the importance of giving thanks in all the things that we do. Whatever you do, in word or deed, you do it all in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, realizing it's all connected. It's all interwoven. We don't just have this life over here and this other life over here and the online life, and we can separate it all, and we can act one way in one place and act a different way in another place. That's not how things work. And so we need to be very aware of our personality, whether it's online or whether it's in the presence of people physically, that we're acting the way that we're supposed to act. Let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk, Paul says in Ephesians, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. There's that thankfulness again. Instead of this foolish talk, the slander, the misrepresentation, the anger and the malice that come across through those keyboards as we type and we are angry about what we're seeing and we want to let everyone know how we feel. Don't be tied up in that foolish talk, but instead be tied up with thanksgiving. It talks about this concept in Ephesians 5 of walking as children of light. And it doesn't change, again, just because we're online. We still need to be children of light. People, when they look at us, they see the comments that we make, and they see the attitude that we bring with us, whether it's in person or whether it's online, and they see that recreation, that renewal through knowledge after the image of the Creator. That's what it means to be that new self, and technology shouldn't change that. We should remain the new man. But as a part of this, where I want to go next, is just the reality of what we can do on social media. I don't think we have to completely throw it out or remove it from our life, but we can actually use it in a positive way. But we need to understand we need to build a good reputation. There is great power in social media. And even if we're just using it to look at friends' pictures and to seek some comments online and those types of things, we are interacting. And it is very powerful. And so there's some things we need to understand about how this works and the power of social media in our lives. So I'll say this. This is just realities of the world we live in. We need to realize that our lives are an open book. If you are online, if you are on social media, your life is an open book. Essentially, unless you have some really strict protection on your accounts, people can get on there and see whatever you put out there. Very easily, things can change. Many of this, you've had it happen to you, right? Something changes in settings, and you have to go back in and change it. And before you know it, people can get on and see all your pictures. They can see all your comments. And we just need to assume that everything we put out there, everyone can see. You just have to realize that my life, it's an open book if I'm online. And just figure it's out there, and people can see it if I put it out there. I need to understand that my wall or my photos, my likes, my posts, my comments, all of those are first impressions for many people. And they're all telling people a lot of things about myself. And often people, that's how they get to know us before they ever meet us face-to-face anymore. And there are messages that are coming across from all of those things in our life. But maybe more than all of that, because this tends to be interactive, right? It's social media. I want us to think about this question. I don't know how long ago it was now for me, but a while back, I thought about this question, and it changed a lot of what I did online. I thought, what if I meet this person one day? I ask myself that a lot. What if I meet this person one day? For many of us here this morning, we tend to have our highest interaction with other Christians I end up preaching. Last week, actually, I was somewhere else preaching. I go different places and I preach, and we travel to visit family, and we just find ourselves in different places throughout the country and even throughout the world at times. And how embarrassing if we show up and we meet somebody we've just been belligerent to online. We've been hateful to. We've assumed the worst of through some of the comments they've made. What if I meet this person someday? Imagine what that scenario would look like. Because these interactions can actually influence real life and real relationships. They're not just empty, worthless comments made on a computer screen. They actually can come back, and I've had this experience many times where I have interacted. Most of the time, if not all of it, it's been good, so I'm happy about that. But it's just reality that I've gone places, that I've met people that I've interacted with that I never had known before, and that's a great blessing in reality. But I interacted with them over computer, through social media, and now we run into each other at a gospel meeting or some other place. But how embarrassing if it's been a negative interaction. And there's already animosity, and we have never even met before. So we have to be very aware of the environment and the setting. And then be aware of non-essentials. Ask, here's another question, does this really matter? Does it really matter? And there's a lot of directions this can go, and hear me carefully on this. You can do some things with this sort of thing, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but I do think we need to think carefully about this. Maybe it's a political figure that you like or a political figure you dislike. Does it really matter that you need to post this on social media? Does it make that much of a difference in your life? Maybe it's another hot issue, vaccinations. You're for them or you're against them. Does it really matter? Is it really worth risking relationships? Maybe you are an adamant homeschooler, or maybe you are against homeschooling. Does it really matter that you post this out there, or that you make comments that are now going to cause division and problems among people? Maybe it's your sports teams. It's amazing that even in the realm of sports, people can get angry and belligerent toward each other. And people can defriend other people, right? The defriending thing on Facebook, or remove someone following on Twitter because of something they say about your sports team or some other issue related to that. I mean, how ridiculous when we actually stop and think about it. And I realize some of those things I mentioned can be important. I'm not saying they're not important. But it's still the question, does it really matter? There can be times in which I think it's okay to say some things about some of those sorts of things. But in that, we need to be very careful how we do it. Not belligerent, not sarcastic, not demeaning. Because we're talking about real relationships with real people. Not just standing on our soapbox and blasting things out just so everyone knows how we feel. Or even worse, how stupid we think they all are because they disagree with us. I remember a long time ago now when I was working with Brother Bowman, that's one of the points he made numerous times to me. Was not to use the pulpit as your soapbox, not to use it as an occasion to be belligerent to people who disagree with you. And I'll tell you now, we all have a voice on social media, those of us who are on it, and we better be very careful how we use that voice. Because it impacts relationships, and it can be very dangerous. The way that we do that sometimes. Reputation, no matter what people want to try to say, reputation does matter. Paul makes this statement in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 as he has just interacted with Peter and called Peter out for some things he did wrong. Yes, an apostle did something wrong. And Paul calls him out for it. And kind of as he's working his way from that to a greater point, he makes this statement about how we kind of get too caught up in ourselves sometimes, but that's not the way we ought to see it. He says, if I have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so what I portray on the internet or anywhere else is not about me. It's about what I'm supposed to be in Christ. It's no longer I. It's the word ego. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So I better be very careful. What I am portraying out there for everyone to see about what Christ is, who's living in me. If I'm claiming to be a child of God. one of his elect, one of his holy ones, as Paul talks about here in Colossians chapter 3. And so I can use social media to build a good reputation, and there are some people out there who have done a great job of this. There's people I see, and I see the things they write, the things they do, and they've done it right. And that's where I want to go with my use of this tool that we have nowadays, doing it the right way, rather than using this for a source of negativity and criticism and demeaning. And so we need to be careful about the way we live, and whether it's in Ephesians or Colossians, either one, Paul makes this point frequently, that we live with wisdom. Don't be unwise, but be wise. Use your time well. Do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. That's the point there in Ephesians chapter 5, and that we are thinking carefully about how we're walking as children of light and using what we have to the best of our ability to build up and to encourage whoever we come into contact with. But here's another thing we can do with social media. We can benefit the kingdom. We can build our reputation, which is really Christ living in us, and demonstrating that to the world as they see the way we live, whether it's in reality, as we walk around physically or on the internet, but we also can benefit the kingdom. Our words can be with grace, as we're told they ought to be in Colossians chapter 4. And we can kind of get off of the internet thing here for just a second. Let me just make this comment. And I really think we do pretty well here, and I think actually our setting for Bible classes helps with this to some degree, but this is more of a struggle in some places. And it can happen here as well, that it's not just online that we need to be careful with this, but even in Bible classes, we don't know who's visiting sometimes. We don't know the people who have come in here, and we need to be very careful with the way we use our words in some of those situations, that we're not demeaning and talking down about people and trying to lift ourselves up in such a way that we maybe push them away rather than having an opportunity to teach and to learn together what we find in Scripture. And so we can apply this even outside the realm of social media that we're focusing on primarily this morning and realize that we need to be careful with the things we say. And so here's the idea. Consider that non-believers read what I write. Non-believers are reading the things I'm writing. Again, one of those things that really should shape us. And realize there are people who are coming and seeing what we're saying who are not believers that present an opportunity, sometimes not for me, but for the person I am interacting with, maybe on their wall or on their Twitter feed or whatever. Sometimes it's someone, and I had a situation like this not too long ago where someone interjected their comments on a page, and I wrote privately to the person and said, I really hope no one responds to this person. It was a close friend of theirs, and he said, I hope so too, because that could be very damaging. We need to think about that. He had a relationship with this lady. He was an older man, and she was the roommate of his daughter, and so they had somewhat of a relationship trying to work with that, with the gospel. But we can ruin those sorts of things if we're not careful about what we say, and we better be very careful in thinking sometimes there are non-believers reading the sorts of statements that we're making. And maybe this is one we haven't thought of as much, but I think it's very important. Believe in the power of the local congregation. Social media is great, and it can do some wonderful things, and it's an opportunity to put some things out there that are true. But you know what? God established things in local congregations. And I need to be committed to that reality. That primarily the way he wants us to work is like this. And when I start getting beyond that, it just gets riskier and riskier because I don't know people as personally. And I see things all the time that people write on social media kind of degrading the church. Well, the church does this, and the church says that, and the church believes this. They don't know any of that. They know what the church does, where they are, and the places they've been. And they ought to be a lot more careful about the things they're saying. Because what they're really doing is they're damaging the kingdom. Again, in the eyes of those people who are non-believers who then begin to see the sorts of things they're saying in a very negative way. Let's focus on what can be done where we are. Jeff actually talked about this a while ago in February when he talked about social media, just about the global nature of the internet in general and how it actually is damaging to us. Because we see everything that's going on everywhere. We see every problem, and we feel like we've got to fix every problem, which is impossible. We can't do that. And it's one of the issues we see all around us. People think they want to try to fix everything. You just can't. You need to do what you can where you are. And that's the way it ought to be with the church, too. We need to be focusing on what we can do here in the places that we have influence and an impact. That's where we're going to do our greatest good. And then following along with that, stop complaining. Stop complaining. Do all things without grumbling, Paul says. Now, I think we all understand sometimes we make comments about something that happened today or whatever, and those things can happen sometimes, and I'm not saying you can't ever do that, but man, just the constant complaining and moaning about life. That is not the new man. That is not drawing anyone to Christ. And it may be having more serious implications than we even realize. When we are constantly complaining about the things happening in our life and all those people that are looking at that, see, that's what we're like. And yet we claim to follow Christ and be saved and have hope through his salvation. Do all things without grumbling, Paul says. Be kind, positive, godly, loving. That's actually what Colossians 3 said when we just read it a few minutes ago. Those are all the things it tells us to do. Be a light. That's what Jesus himself said. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When I'm spending a majority of my time complaining online, that's not being a light. That's not doing that. That's not causing anyone to glorify our Father who is in heaven. In fact, it's just the opposite in the end. It's causing the name of God to be despised among the Gentiles, as he complained the Jews did through their unfaithfulness and their disobedience. We need to be a light to the world. And let me tie it back in to something we looked at in Colossians chapter 3 as we conclude this morning, the idea of love, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. And just recognize these words. I know these are to his disciples, but this is a powerful statement. In John chapter 3. And John actually later states it in his epistles as well. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The world mocks Christianity for a lot of reasons. One of them is because they so frequently see Christians devouring one another. And so what my goal needs to be, what all of our goals needs to be, is that we demonstrate love. That we benefit the kingdom by demonstrating true love. That means loving people when we disagree with them, when we discuss things with them. It means coming across as a compassionate, caring person, one who sympathizes with those who are struggling or who are in weakness, rather than casting them off. This is how people will know that we are his disciples. The world jumps on every opportunity to crush those who are down. And what an amazing thing if people can see us doing just the opposite. Finding occasion to build up. And certainly not trying to destroy one another. This transformation that Paul talks about in Colossians 3 needs to find its way in our lives today, even online. We embody this transformation, the things that it talks about, the kindness and the compassion and love. And I do believe if we come across that way, the more I've done that, the better the results have been, that the more careful. I've actually had interactions in recent months with someone I completely disagree with on many, many things. But it's great that we can actually have a respectful conversation with each other, without being hateful, malicious, without assuming the worst of each other. That's the goal where I'd like to be with all of my interactions. And that's the goal where Christians in general ought to be with our interactions, whether in person or online. As we do that, we can greatly benefit the kingdom. We can use social media as an asset, as a tool, something that can do great things for the people of God. And so that's my encouragement this morning, to commit, We've got the new year coming very quickly. Maybe commit as we're approaching the new year that you're going to change your personality online if it's not what it ought to be. That you're going to start using this as a tool for good, to build your reputation, which then promotes Christ and then becomes a light to those who are around you, or to interact with people in a way that's benefiting the kingdom. And stop spreading trash, as we are tempted to do sometimes. Figure out the things that really matter, that are truly important. And if we're going to use it, let that be your focus. That's my lesson this morning. I hope I can carry that out. I hope that you can carry that out. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want you to be one. That transformation that talks about in Colossians 3, he talks about being raised up with Christ. He's talking about really the idea of you die with him, you're baptized with him, and you come up out of that water a new person. And there's a lot of changes that are to be made from that point, but that is the moment in which you've committed yourself to that lifestyle. And if you haven't done that this morning, we'd love to help you do that. We can show you where Scripture talks about it if you need more convincing. We've got water ready. We can get you in that water. We can have you die with Christ right now and come up a new person. And if you realize in your life that you've done that in the past, but you're not living it, you can make a change. Whether you come forward this morning or whether you just go home and pray to God and ask for forgiveness, make it happen. Why don't you do it now as we stand and we sing together.